Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Chinese leaders are in Africa trying to keep momentum going on a cooperation strategy more than 6 years in the making. The sixth forum on China-Africa cooperation. This year's drearily corporate-sounding theme, China-Africa progressing together. Win-win cooperation for common development. Chinese President Xi Jinping is leading the meeting where African leaders are lined up to make friends, like Zimbabwe's president earlier this week when Xi Jinping was in Harare.
Mr. President, I'm glad that Zimbabwe and China speak the same language on many issues. We share the same conviction that only a fair, just, and non-prescriptive world order based on the principles of the Charter of the United Nations can deliver the development we all need.
The Chinese leader and Mugabe just signed 12 agreements worth more than $4 billion. The U.S. wants nothing to do with Mugabe and his dictatorship, but does acting out of principle put the U.S. at a disadvantage? Do African nations view China as just another colonial power with deep pockets? Or has China managed to get something right in its dealings with African nations? Darren Acemoglu is professor of economics at MIT and author of Why Nations Fail. Professor, does China have something right here in dealing with the African nations?
Well, it has two things. It has huge demand, and African nations need that demand. But, you know, that needs to be qualified, and I'll qualify it in a second. And it has a much more robust stomach when it comes to corruption, human rights abuses, and unsavory dictators. So this is a potent mix.
Is that to say that China is trying to maintain the status quo in its economic leverage because these are reliable partners? Or does China view its influence as a force for change in Africa?
I'm not sure that China views its influence as an agent of political change. You know, if you look at recent Chinese history, you know, there isn't anything that the Chinese leadership is more averse to than political change.
Right.
So, you know, I don't think that they're ever going to be, you know, asking for political change from another country, especially since, you know, they are not willing to think about it at home, and they have made a very vocal sort of point in the past that they do not want to interfere in other countries' businesses. But on the other hand, they do want to change the infrastructure. They do want to change the supply chain in African nations so that they can be more effective in delivering their natural resources.
Does that have the impact of increasing prosperity in African nations? And are people in Africa satisfied and enthusiastic about that? Or do they view China as another colonial power who's there to get rich quick and leave?
I wish I could give a clear answer to that. You know, I think it's more a little bit more nuanced because, you know, all else equal, you know, over the last 20 years, I think the Chinese relations for African nations have been a force towards greater GDP. Why? Because, you know, African nations export natural resources and export agriculture. And there has been a huge demand coming from China, and this has helped their exports. Sometimes the Chinese have gone around and built roads and infrastructure, and that's probably not a bad thing either. But I think you looked at it from the longer perspective, it's probably not as good a deal for Africans. You know, here, you know, you have to take some sides, you have to have a perspective. But, you know, my perspective is very clear from my research and from the book Why Nations Fail that I wrote with James Robinson. You know, Africa needs better governance to grow. It needs better institutions. And what, you know, the evidence is pretty clear on this is that the Chinese not only don't help the building of better institutions, but often they actually ossify the existing institutional status quo. I mean, you could see that with Zimbabwe. You could see that in the last 15 years with Sudan, where, you know, after Sudan, following, a horrific set of, human rights abuses, was cut off from all Western relations. The Chinese not only stepped up to the plate to fully trade with them, but started supplying arms to al-Bashir's regime, and the same thing in Angola. So I think it's very clear that, the Chinese are not interested in, being the agent of institutional change, but they do value a strong government that they can rely on, do business with, and perhaps pay bribes to.
Does the Chinese leadership view different African nations differently? Can we look at the way in which these deals are made country to country, as opposed to just, collectively lumping everyone together, because Africa is a huge place, of course?
Well, of course, China is most interested in the countries that have natural resources, and they have, been investing a lot in Africa. So they are very good at finding the right set of deals to make. Some places require arms and, some sort of international relation like Sudan. Some other places are really craving infrastructural investment, and the Chinese are good at sort of doing those early stage infrastructural investments, especially when they bring their own people, which is, pretty good deal for them in some respects, not so good for some of the Chinese who have to spend time in Africa and they keep complaining. So it's not the case that, the Westerners are being prescriptive, like Mugabe suggested in that clip you played, and the Chinese people are, in unison, supporting the relationship. I think there are a lot of opposition voices within Africa.
Darren Acemoglu is economics professor at MIT and author of Why Nations Fail. Darren, thanks so much.
Oh, thanks, John. It's a great pleasure.